Good afternoon. We prepare this week for Shabbos Parshas Ekev. Parsha begins Haya Ekev Tishmu and Eis Hamishpatim Ha'ila. It'll be that when you listen to the mitzvos of Hashem, Ushmartem Asisem Basan, and perform them, Vishamar Hashem Elokecha Lecha, that Hashem will watch for you, Esa Bris, V'yasa Chesed, Asher Nishpal Abosecha, the Bris, and the Chesed, the kindness that He promised to our forefathers. Rashi very famously comments that V'haya Ekev Tishmu, and he takes Ekev out of the simple meaning of the word. It's interesting to try and understand why Rashi did that. Rashi normally tries to go with the simplest pshat, but here Rashi takes it out of its simple, out of the simplest context, and says that in Ekev, it's like a cave, like the heel. Im ha-mitzvos kalos adam dash be'akevav tishme'un, and that it's teaching us that which mitzvos do you need to watch over, do you need to perform in order to be entitled to this deal, to this bris that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is making. It's the small mitzvos that sometimes we focus on the larger mitzvos, but this is on the details of the small mitzvos. But the other point which is interesting in the pasuk is the focus on the mishpatim. We have various categories of mitzvos, and there are chukim, there are mitzvos that we don't understand, there are mishpatim, and there are other mitzvos as well. And here it seems to be telling us specifically about the mishpatim as being part of this deal. What's so special about the mishpatim? So, and the Ramban points out that if the Torah says that it's talking about the mishpatim, that's what it means. It doesn't mean that it's referring to the mishpatim. So what does the mishpatim refer to? So the Ramban comments that it refers to two things. The first, he says, is b'mishpatim hakalim kedinei mamonos, the monetary laws. That sometimes we don't think, or we have a different perspective, that when it comes to monetary issues, that's not something which is spiritual. When do we have to deal with God? When do we have to deal with mitzvos? That's in the realm of that which is inherently kadosh, that which is holy. We daven, we put on tefillin, Shabbos. There are mitzvos which fill us and surround us with kedusha, but there are plenty of other mitzvos in terms of bein adam lechaveru. In terms of bein adam lechaveru, certainly the obligations in terms of acting properly with one's money is at the forefront. Yet, it's sometimes something which is sha'adam dash ba'akevav. It's something which we don't fully appreciate the significance of in terms of, A, its effect on other people, but also in terms of the requirement that we have, that these are very, very serious commandments as well. But there's another context in which the Ramban says also is referring to mishpatim. The Ramban says that is a Beis Din Mazir Lishmor V'Onshei Beis Din, that the Beis Din has a requirement to mete out the punishments as they are assigned, that the Torah has certain punishments which fit for certain crimes, and the responsibility of the Beis Din is to appropriately mete out those punishments. So if somebody violates a lo saaseh, a negative commandment, he violates it, and something which leads to a skila or strefa, whatever the particular context is, you're not allowed to decide, you know what, how can we kill somebody, or it's not just to kill somebody. The Beis Din will say, you know, we want to try and help the person, we want to rehabilitate the person. How is it going to rehabilitate this person if we kill him? We should put him in jail. We should put him into some sort of program. All of these different types of ideas, of etzos, of other paths that one might think are the appropriate path when it comes to somebody who has committed a crime, the Torah is telling us here, no, I am giving you instructions. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, this is what one needs to, this is what needs to do. And that we have to be careful sometimes of misplaced compassion, and that having compassion for somebody who the Torah requires to be killed, and the Torah in its perfect and just system requires it, it's an obligation on the people, on the Beis Din to perform it. That's the Torah is telling us here, Ekev Tishmeun, that it shouldn't be something which is trampled. When we see the punishments that the Torah has, we have to realize that there is a perfect system in place here, and that as much as maybe our morals at times may not jive and may not fall in line with what the Torah is saying, the Torah, that's a chisaron, that's something which is lacking in us. That's not chas v'shalom, something which is lacking in the Torah, and that we approach mitzvot that are difficult to understand. We have mechiyas amalek. We have the destruction of Amalek and killing people and capital punishment, things that in our Western society are not necessarily something which is accepted. But the Torah tells us here is that, no, in the context of the Torah, in the context of where the Torah says that this obligation is required, that is what's just, and we have no right. We have no right to trample upon it. And that's B'hayo Ekev Tishmun, whether it's the role of Beis Din or whether it's the role of a particular Jew to make sure that, that we understand and we appreciate the context in which the mitzvot are given and the system with which HaKadosh Baruch Hu blesses us. That is the V'hayo Ekev Tishmun Et HaMishpatim. That's a special characteristic of Mishpatim as opposed to everything else, is that not just that they are the ones which are sometimes trampled upon, but sometimes they're trampled upon not because they're small things, but because they're something which we can't necessarily appreciate. And Torah is reminding us here that no, the system that the Torah has is perfect, and we have an obligation to change ourselves in order to fit the system of the Torah, and not chas v'shalom to expect the Torah to change to fit our system. Moving along in the parasha, the Torah says in Perek Tes, Pasuk Tes, the Torah writes, "Ubechorev hiktzavtem es Hashem." You have to remember what happened when we got Hashem angry, that it was at Chorev that we rebelled against Hashem. Vayisnaf Hashem b'chem l'ashmid eschem, and Hashem wanted to kill Bnei Yisrael. Ba'alosi ha'har, when I went up to the mountain, l'kachas l'chos ha'avanim l'chos ha'bris, to take the l'chos, asher karas Hashem yumachem, that Hashem made this bris together with you. Va'eshev b'har arba'im yom v'arba'im loyim, and I sat on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights. Lechem lo achalti umayim lo shatzisi, and I didn't eat, nor did I drink. So, for the Moshe says, Vo'eshev Bahar, I sat on the mountain. What is it to tell us that I sat there? I went up to the mountain, and I was there for 40 days and 40 nights. What is it, Vo'eshev Bahar, I sat, as opposed to standing? What exactly is the Torah trying to get at? So Rashi seems to be bothered by that, and Rashi comments, Vo'eshev Bahar, that I sat on the mountain, Ein Yeshiva, El Loshen Akava. That Yeshiva means that I was delayed there, that I was, that doesn't have to do with how he was standing per se, but it has to do with the fact that he was, that he had to stay where he was, and that he had to focus on the task at, on a task at hand. Rav Moshe and his Darash Moshe has a beautiful and very poignant idea that when it comes to this pasuk, he says that Vo'eshev Bahar, the reason that Moshe Rabbeinu had to say Vo'eshev Bahar is that when Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't there, when Moshe Rabbeinu was there, he was fully there. It wasn't that Moshe Rabbeinu said, "Well, I'm only here temporarily. I'm going to be heading back to Bnei Yisrael." So, you know, the whole time he's antsy to leave. But the lesson that Moshe Rabbeinu was teaching and that the Torah teaches us here is that when Moshe was there, Moshe was fully there. He sat and he waited because that was the role that he had to play at that specific time. And that the lesson being that when you have a responsibility, you have a role that you have to do, you have to make sure that you are fully there. And it's nogeya, it comes up in so many contexts. We live our lives in a constant state of being distracted. And while we're in one place, we're half in somewhere else. And we don't necessarily put our full focus on whatever the task is. It's certainly true in terms of davening and learning, that when you're there anyway, you have 10 minutes to sit and learn. It doesn't have to be that you have an hour, but if you have 10 minutes to sit and learn, so it's important to make sure that during the 10 minutes that you have, you're actually there and fully there for 10 minutes, and you don't let the other distractions bother you for that time, even if it's a brief time. When we're davening, we're in the shul anyway, so we have to try, again, not easy, but we have to try to focus on whatever it is at that time. When we're involved in another mitzvah, when we're involved with our children, when we're involved with whatever it is, we need to try and live in the moment. Sometimes we get distracted, and we're always looking beyond. We're looking to the next thing. And wherever we are at that moment, we're not fully there. And that was what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us, that if you want to engage and you want to need to accomplish something, you need to be fully in it. You need to make sure that when you're there, you're there. That's what Eshev Bahar. Moshe Rabbeinu says that when I was on the mountain, it was only for 40 days, only for 40 nights, and I knew I was heading back, and I wanted to go back to Kal Yisrael. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, no, when I was there, I was there. And there, Moshe says, is what the extra edition of Vo'eshev Bahar was coming to teach us, that when you're engaged in whatever activity you may be engaged in, it's our responsibility to make sure that we are fully there and fully part of whatever it is that we're trying to whatever it is that we're trying to do. The beginning of Perek Yud, the Torah writes in Pasuk Aleph, Ba'isahi Omar Hashem Eli, at the time Hashem said to me, Pesol lecha shnei luchos avanim k'rishonim, make for yourself two luchos, two tablets that are made out of stone like the first ones. Va'alei Eli Aharon, go up to me to the mountain. Va'sisa lecha shneitz, and I'll make for you an aron out of wood. So in the Shemin HaTov, he comments that the Mefarshim are already bothered by the fact that the commandment to create, to make the luchos, precedes the making the construction of the aron. But later on, when Moshe Rabbeinu actually does it, Moshe Rabbeinu makes the aron first, and then afterwards he makes the designs and carves out the luchos to place inside of it. But he points out that there's another question which should be addressed as well, is that only when it comes to the luchos shnios, only when it comes to the second set of luchos, does the Torah tell us of any specific obligation to have an aron at all? When it comes to the first luchos, when it comes to the luchos rishonim, the Torah never said there was any obligation to have an aron. So how come it was only by the second luchos that the Torah, again, irrespective of this issue of what came first, the psal lechok, the creation of the, or the carving out of the luchos or the aron, there's no mention of the aron at all when it comes to the luchos rishonos. Why should that be? So we suggest that it would seem to be, it has to be, based on the evidence that we're given, that since the first luchos were ma'aseh elokim, they were designed directly from Hashem, v'amichtav mechtav elokim, and the ksav, the carving out in the luchos, was also the handiwork of Hashem, so then it was really no seis asano. The luchos held themselves. It was almost a something which was above nature. It was something beyond that which we can normally fathom. It existed on a different plane. And on that plane, the aron existed and didn't need to be contained by any physical aron. And it was only afterwards that the luchos, when it came to the luchos, the second luchos, which had to be carved out by Moshe Rabbeinu, there HaKadosh Baruch Hu says that there needs to be an aron. But the luchos that we lost out on existed on a different plane. He points out one other interesting point as well, is that the Torah tells us here that it needs to be designed the exact same way as the words need to be the same as the first one, exactly as the luchos rishonos were. It says it's interesting. Normally when you rewrite a law, when you rewrite something, you edit it, and you look to improve it. But the point is that when it comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, obviously there's no improvement. Everything is perfect. That the laws were, not just in their inception were perfect, but in their application were perfect as well. That the Ma'aseh Elokim, that the wisdom that HaKadosh Baruch Hu provides us with, that the Torah Hashem is Tamima, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is perfect in all of its ways, and it relates back to the first point that we have, and that sometimes when it seems to be that it doesn't work well with our perspectives on something, then it's our responsibility to make sure that we allow the Torah to leave its blueprint on us, and not chas v'shalom that we leave our blueprint on the Torah. Trivia question for this week. There are a few people who did get the one last week. It was the pasuk of Ohanisa Halokim Lavol Kachas Logon Mikarv Goy. And the only other one was in B'Shalach Tes Zayin of Zeh Davar Shertiva Hashem when it came to the man. The question for this week is which two sets of two appear in the same pasuk in the sixth parasha. Two sets of two appear in the same pasuk. Wishing everybody a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos.